Please join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today is All Saints' Day, when we give thanks for the lives of people who have died. Roman Catholics celebrate two separate days. The first day, which they call All Saints' Day, is to honor the martyrs and spiritual giants of the Church. The next day, All Souls' Day, is to pray for all the faithful who died, the regular Christians, the ordinary people who might not assume that they're going to heaven. But we Protestants celebrate just one day. The Apostle Paul called all Christians saints. And we believe that in God's eyes, all people are important. Some people may stand out as better examples than others, but we are part of a community of saints together, and each person has an important part to play. So after the Reformation, we merged the two days and honor everyone on one day, especially those who are part of our community of faith. On All Saints' Day, we remember those who've gone before us and think of them as alive in God's heavenly kingdom. But in the early writings of the Bible, the people didn't have much sense of an afterlife. They focused on this earthly life. Tom read this morning from the story of the Israelites crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. This Promised Land was not just a dream in their minds. It was a real piece of land on earth that they believed God had promised to them. But as they entered it, they found that life in the Promised Land was not going to be as smooth and easy as they had hoped. As you may recall, Moses had led the people out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea into the wilderness. And they had been wandering in the wilderness for a whole generation while God tested and formed them into a people of faith. Before Moses died, he told the people that God had promised them the land beyond the Jordan River, every place that the soles of their feet touched after they crossed the river would belong to them. And that's most of the Middle East today. But first, they had to take possession of it. The book of Joshua is the story of gaining the land, and it involved courage, violence, and warfare. The Israelites drove out whole tribes of people, invading and killing them. We may find this offensive today, the idea that God would sanction war like that. But this was simply the way things were done in ancient times. And the people who recorded these stories believed the people were carrying out God's will. That does not mean that we should do the same today. Instead, we read these stories as stories of faith. The people were being asked to enter a strange and new land with unknown dangers. Would they drown crossing the river? Would God be there with them on the other side of the river? The people were still being formed, still learning who God was and what God wanted of them. And we are still learning today. We human beings are limited by our experiences and perspective in the world. Even with the revelation of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will never fully understand who God is and what God wants of us, until we're released from this world and from the limits of our bodies and minds. Now, some Christians today still believe that God promised the land in the Middle East to God's people and that Israel should do all it can to defend and keep it. But many people of faith believe otherwise. We believe that God's promises today are for a spiritual reality, that God's kingdom is not tied to a particular piece of land. As Jesus once said, "The kingdom of God is within you or among you." The reality of God's kingdom is present and available wherever human beings respond to God's presence with mercy, love, justice, and truth. On this earth, our responses are flawed and tainted by our limited vision and our tendency to selfishness and sin. Still, we can have a taste of what God's reign is like here on earth, and we wait for the time when we can fully experience God's kingdom and glory when our lives on earth are over. Who here is looking forward to that? Anyone looking forward to your life on earth being over? Not yet? Most of us have mixed feelings about dying. But a couple people raised their hands. Okay. My husband. Oh, they're great. But to fully experience God's kingdom and glory, we have to leave the earth behind. And like the Israelites, we can't be sure of what we'll find on the other side of the river. The story goes that before Joshua took leadership, Moses sent him and 11 other spies into the land of Canaan to scope out the scene. And they came back with a mixed report. They said that yes, the land was flowing with milk and honey. It was full of grapes, pomegranates, and figs. But the people who lived there were tall and strong like giants, and their cities were well fortified. And with that news, the people lost their nerve, fearing that they would all surely be slaughtered. They'd rather return to slavery in Egypt than face such an uncertain future. But Joshua convinced them that God would go with them. And so we have today's story of crossing the river. What's on the other side for us? We can't send out spies to scope out heaven as Moses scoped out the promised land. What if crossing over is painful? What if there's punishment on the other side? What if there's nothing at all on the other side? The end of everything, oblivion. But like the Israelites, we do have the promise of God's presence. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not death or life, not angels, rulers, powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from God's love for us in Jesus Christ. We may not be able to grasp what happens to us after we die, but if God's love is with us, there's no need to be afraid. This year, three of our saints crossed over to the Promised Land. Andre Rakotoselson died suddenly of heart failure just about a year ago. He was only 17. We were all devastated to lose such a young man who was an outgoing, playful and fun, loyal and sincere, a genuine friend loved by small children and young and older adults alike. Who thinks much about dying at that age? We may think of it as a tragedy, and it certainly was for Andre's family and friends. But what if he's in a better place now? It's just that he crossed over before us. Then last winter, Pamela Lovell died after a long decline. Pamela was a colorful person. In the last year of her life, she was known to break into song during Bible study, Broadway hits, of course. And I remember her dancing up a storm at one of our dinner dances. Pamela sat close to the front of the sanctuary and often sang the hymns by memory. And often our eyes would meet during the last hymn and we'd exchange a knowing look of pure joy. A talented artist, sensitive spirit, searching and joyful faith, at once fragile and strong, Pamela crossed over before us. And lastly, Harriet Coleman died this summer at age 96. Harriet was ready to go. Her heart was giving out on her. She was tired, and she was not afraid. Harriet lived a long and full life, from growing up on a farm with 12 siblings to moving north and finally settling in Leonia to raise